Thank you. My name is Lucia Menajek. there are many chairs, but I think, you know, it's always, I think it's because I am going to do a chair and I'm going to tell you about me. And there's plenty of people here that I don't know, and I think that's wonderful. It's kind of a, but there's a lot of, I've been meeting, I met three friends here that I haven't seen probably for 12 years. They're still here, and it's great to see them again. I had the opportunity today. I had a friend home, and she was reading Step One, and I had the opportunity to talk about, to actually talk about, think about, and talk about my using my recovery. And I have a full life now, and I don't have that time to actually do that. It was funny because I was coming here to do this chair, and you know, before I came into recovery, when I knew about NA, you know, I used drugs for a long time. I started in my country, in Brazil. I'm from Brazil, and I started there, and. You know, the first time I got drunk, I was 17, and I hated the taste, and I hate alcohol all through my using, but I drank for 19 years. But I loved the way it made me feel, that euphoria, you know, taking me out of me. Nothing very desperate happened in my childhood. I guess I had a quite stable, mom and dad, school, hated school, nothing terrible happened to me. But I believe in a disease concept, and I think it was there waiting to just be released, you know. And when I smoked my first joint, it was like that was it, and it combined with a change of life. I was studying evenings. I wanted to do university, but I was working during the day, and you do that a lot in Brazil. And I decided, working in the office, I decided to change my life. And then it coincided with my change in my life. I joined a dance company in Bahia, north of Brazil, where I lived. And one dancer, a male dancer, you know, introduced me, gave me a joint. He took me away out of the rehearsal, took me behind the, we used to rehearse in this church hall. He took me behind the church hall, and then he gave him this joint, and he said to me, "Don't tell anybody, you know." I love that secret, you know, don't tell anybody, only me and you. That was the beginning, right? And then I loved that joint, and I want more, and I want more, and I want more, and I go more. And then when we traveled, when I came with a dancing company to Europe, I found then the other drugs, you know, many, hash and morphine and speed and you name it. Until I found the drug that became the drug that took me hostage. It was cocaine. I used cocaine for 17 years, and it killed me, because when I came to recovery, I was 6 stones, I was very sick in every way, spiritually, mentally, physically, I was so sick, and I didn't know, huge denial, you know, huge denial. I was fine, I was okay, I knew it all, don't tell me anything, you're all, you know, you don't know. And then it was a battle, you know, for me to get somewhere, for me to really get a message of recovery. It was a huge battle my first year. And my using took me to amazing places, amazing. It was fantastic in the beginning. What's the name that some people don't like when I use this? It was... It was a fantastic way of life. Dancing, performing, traveling, sleeping, being paid to do what you love most. You know, it had plenty of time to use drugs. You know, it was fantastic. The combination was just, it was just like the right recipe for disaster that it happened 20 years later. You know, it was the right. It was like the combination was perfect. You know, really, really perfect. It was this wild woman who was, you know, dormant, just came out, and heroin and cocaine made me this powerful person that you could do no wrong. And the arrogance and the irresponsibility made me just that, a powerful woman, you know. And I traveled, I took my drugs everywhere I went. I went to wherever I went, I took my drugs with me, you know. You know, there's no more arrogance than that, because, you know, if you're arrested, you can be in trouble. And it took me to amazing place. I met amazing people. I was in Tehran at 76, we were performing for the Farangi, and the Shah of Iran. He never showed up, but she did. Gave us an amazing cocktail afterwards, and it was just, we stayed in a hotel that fantastic. My using was really fantastic while it was working, while I was protected, you know. And then I decided to stay in England, in London by myself. My company went back to Brazil, and I decided to stay. I met a guy who came to see our show, in the Roundhouse, and then he said, if you don't want to go back, you can stay here. And in a way, I end up living in squat with this group of Brazilian people, and then using LSD every day, experimenting, you know. Or let's use, there was a Colombian girl and me, we decided to use, to do experiment for a week, and someone would pop in an acid in our tongues, and for a week, we just used, you know, and we go to Hyde Park, and really cold, but we were hot, you know, you want to be without, you know, madness, completely madness. My using took me as well to very dangerous places, in which people waking, I have people experience people dead beside my bed, you know, wake up people back, you know, with all that tremendous quantity of saliva, you know, and then just, oh yeah, I'm gone, you know, get all my stuff, I'm gone, I don't even know. You know, obviously you don't want to be found out, you know, to be found near a person like that. Then that morals. I was born in Brazil. My mom was very nice and good. She still is, you know, and I believe in morals. And my morals were out the window, you know. There was no morals. There was no, you know, nothing stopped me to get the drugs, to get the baths, to feel the way I felt for the first time. And I do believe now in recovery that I was searching. You know, the 18 years that I used after the first time, I was actually looking for that feeling, you know, of the first try. And along the way, you know, I hurt a lot of people. I hurt my husband. It was my hostage. I hurt people that I knew, friends of mine, my family, my mom knew, and I thought nobody knew. I thought it was a great secret, but everybody knew. You know, the thing as well is that keep doing the same thing. You know, it was just like, I remember being once in, it was in London, we were in a Nudge squad because the one we lived previously was taken by the authorities, and then we moved to another one. And we decided to have a party because we're moving to this new place. It was a hotel, was recently being closed and abandoned, and we lived in that place. Hot water, fantastic kitchen, pans was fantastic. And we decided to have a party, photograph party. And those days I didn't use heroin because I never fixed, but I smoked. But there was a group of people who did heroin, and then we all, you know, having this fantastic part in dancing, singing. And then it was more using. And I remember that is one amazing example of powerlessness, because I only remember about that years later in recovery. I was sitting this settee, you know, those settees that you sit and then your knees is almost in your, you know, they're very old, and you know, your knees is almost on your face. And I saw a girl in the floor. I opened my eyes, I saw this girl on the floor, and, you know, this thing was coming out of my mouth, you know, in great volume, you know, she had done hearing, and she was OD'ing, it was clear. And then I said into my head, I'm going to get up and change her sideways. Look, my head said, but my body didn't follow. I was totally anesthetized. I couldn't move. You know, and I was looking at this woman and say, she's gonna die, she's gonna get into that nose, she's gonna die, you know. And she was lucky, because then saw someone coming out of the, you know, I think someone had to go to the loo. And then when he came past me with my eyes, I kind of flicked my eyes in and I showed him, and he saw it, and then he turned her sideways. You know, that is, you know, it could be me. You know, traveling around, singing and dancing in South France, and having the experience sometimes not to need to buy drugs, being given drugs because people wanted to be with me and the group. You know, to go to the after the show, people would love to take the whole troop to a discotheque to be seen with us. You know, all the stuff. Then. And one day I decided, I want to divorce my husband. My husband wasn't doing what I wanted anymore. It wasn't good to be living with him anymore. I wanted to change him. I wanted to change my life. And I went to see this friend of mine, said, my husband is pissing me off. He doesn't listen to me. I don't like him anymore. I want to change my life. I want to leave him. And this friend of mine, who was 9 months clean, and I didn't know. The Brazilian Paulo, and he took me to my first meeting. My first NA meeting was in a Red Cross in Chelsea, somewhere in the Red Cross, something red in Chelsea. And I went to this meeting, and a guy cried during the meeting. A man cried. He was sharing, and he cried. And I say, fucking, you're taking me out of here. You know, I mean, crying, what I'm doing here. And I thought everybody was very sick. I wasn't that sick, you know. And it took me 5 months to more using, to then more using, more traveling. Then my arrogance got really a really bang. It was I went to do a show in Paris, I'm a jazz singer. And I went to do this gig, and I was using with people, and I was moving drugs from here to there inside my cowboy boots, you know, really being completely mad. And it came the time for me to get a plane back to England. And what I used to do, I used to travel really well dressed, you know, suits, you know, really good suits. And I used to dress it so well that people wouldn't say that, you know, let's stop her. But that day on the taxi, I said to this French man, that taxi driver, I said, I'm going to go to London. And he said, what time is your flight? I said, if you wait for me, I change my clothes and I go with you to Charles de Gaulle. And he said to me, madam, this, if your flight is that time, you have no time to change. You have to get your luggage and you will make the flight, otherwise you miss the flight. And then, you know, I did what he said. And I put my suit in a suitcase, closed my, and got in the taxi and went. And as soon as I came out of the aeroplane, I'm going to nothing to the Calais. I was using a leopard skin dress, really tight. The high heels was that high. And I was high, I was really stoned. And I think it was just like lights around me saying, hey, you know. It was like, and I was arrested. I was arrested. And they looked everywhere in my bag. They found coke that I didn't have in my head and hash. They found so many things in my luggage. And they didn't find a quantity enough to arrest me. Then I had to pay a fine. And I had to walk with this policewoman all through Heathrow Airport to pay a fine with my card. And they released me. 6 hours later, I was doing the same thing. I promised this man I will never use again. I will never do that. Cocaine is really bad for your health. I said, okay, yeah. 6 hours later, I was doing the same thing. But then this time, the fear, there was something that, because when I left the airport, I was not high. The effect went. Do you know what I mean? I was really scared. And then that was my, you know, I think they said, that's it. And then I ended up in a treatment center. Couldn't do any rooms. Take my hat to my sponsor, who had never been. She's 22. She never been. My hat to a lot of people who never been to treatment. But I needed. I went, fought. It was a very difficult thing for someone like me who knew it all, who had it all, to listen to people. I was told to take cotton wool out of your mouth and put it in your ears. Shut up, you don't know anything. It was a very difficult, well, it was nearly 20 years ago. I'm 19 years clean. It was a long time ago. It was a very hard kind of, the treatment those days would really like. But the humiliation, I felt humiliated. I stayed, you know. I packed my bags. I packed my suitcase almost every day after group, and people would accuse me of this. I'm going to go tonight, and I'll pack everything, you know. And then, no, I was too tired. I'm going to go to bed, and, you know. And that's how. And I stayed 11 months in the treatment center, you know, between primary and halfway house. And it was the best thing I'd done, you know. It was the best thing I'd done. I think I was born again in Western Supermare. We used to call Western Nightmare. And I went to my first convention. I was 4 months clean, and it was just fantastic. It was a main chair, 10 years clean from America. It was fantastic. I said, how? I will never be 10 years clean, you know. And then my life has changed. You know, I done stairs, I got sponsees. You know, coming to London after being West Supermare was hard, because when I got here, there wasn't very many people my color. You know, it was predominant white people in rooms, and it was very difficult. I felt different. I had an accent. Sometimes when I opened my mouth, people used to laugh. I could see people taking the mic, and now it's very hard. But I would go out and go back home and tell my husband, he said, forget those people, you know, where you need to be there. And call my sponsor, my friends, forget those people, you need to be there. And funny enough, not that I feel glorious about that, I feel really sad, but many of those people are dead or using out there, you know, and I'm here. I'm here with a life totally, completely changed. I've changed. I didn't share when I was early clean. I shouted, you know. I was so desperate, you know. I was. Everything was urgent. Everything was yesterday, you know. Nothing of, you know, just think about today, live on today, just for today. It was a concept that I could not understand. And many things in recovery. It was things that I could not understand. You know, it was really I was doing for me first, because when I would discover me, when I would be able to look at myself in the mirror and say, I do love you, Lucy, and today I do. I can go to the movies on my own. If my friend is already sleeping, she doesn't want to go, I can go to a restaurant on my own. You know, I can do things with my family. you know, and it's been like a change, a totally change. I feel totally changed, and it was the only way for me to be clean, for me to lead the life and have the life that I have. It's because I've changed. You know, very hard when people say you have to change that. It's very hard to change. I think we're very reluctant because we're scared of the new thing. We're scared of what's going to come, you know, something that the unknown. But I just face it, you know. I think I used a lot of that arrogance and that zest for life for using with recovery. And I think I'm very passionate about NA and recovery. I'm always in conventions. I'm going to the UK. I'm going to European Convention. I'm doing the London Convention as I'm the committee. That means I think that gives me, I'm really lucky, you know, and I have friends who have problems, you know. And I met a friend the other day for lunch, and I said to her, well, where'd you get all this understanding, all this acceptance? I said, well, NA, and my religion as well, because I believe in a higher power. My higher power today is the Gohonzon. I practice Buddhism for the last 7 years, and it is a higher power. It's my higher power. And then she said, I'm an alcoholic now. She wants to go to AA. She wants to become an addict because she wants to have the program. It's none of me, because we are fortunate. We're really lucky that if we practice and we have the program in our life the same way we used, we get the message. We get the message and we don't relapse. Or if we do relapse, we come back. Because of relapse, after 3 months in treatment, I just had it. And I did leave, and I end up using. And then end up back with my tail between my legs saying, please take me back, you know. And if there is a newcomers here, you know, it is scary. It's not easy. I had plenty in my life in recovery to not wanting to go to meetings, to not wanting to share, to be sitting in a meeting, dying to share, and now a voice in my head say, don't open your mouth. Nobody wants to hear you. You got an accent. Don't do it. Just shut up. Stay quiet. Go home. You know, all that. I had that for a long, long time. Now I don't. I'm nervous here, but I'm really self-confident. I got my own business. I got children recovery. And that is one, you know, accepting life on life on terms. My daughter has been diagnosed when she was 4 with autism. And I got a real difficult child that I've been dealing with the help of my husband. I'm still married, you know, to the same man. And life is not perfect, but whose life is perfect? Sometimes I want him to be different. Sometimes I want him to be dark and handsome. He's blonde, blue-eyed, you know. I wish he was different, you know. You know, there is all this wishing, you know. Then I go to convention and flirt a bit, you know, get a bit of layout, you know. And but I go back home. He's my husband. He's the person who actually gave me, support me, and gives me everything. And if I am here, it's thanks to him as well. But my daughter now, I lived in Brazil for the last 3 years. I came back to England last July. Guess what, on the 7th of July, after 3 years living in Brazil, I came back on the 7th of July with bombs, you know, bombing, popping up everywhere. And I said, what is the universe trying to tell me? Go back to Brazil, you know what I mean? And with poverty, since she'd been having her period, she became really violent. And I can't go out with her. We need now social services. We got people coming out at our house, reverse, you know, different people to help us with her. Because when she gets angry, when she gets frustrated, she's very powerful. She's like 10. You can't hold a 16-year-old. She's very tall. She becomes really violent. And then she has put me in the hospital. My husband's all black and blue, beaten up. She takes peace to house, broken. And recently we put her to Camden, and we are getting a grant to send her to a residential school. We are choosing a Rudolf Steiner method in a school in Dorset. And I know that's going to help her, and I can't wait I can't wait, and at the same time, I'm really sorry that she has to go, but she needs to go. Got my 13-year-old is suffering. He's acting out. She picks on him, pulls his hair, spats on him, hits him, and he's acting out. He's missing school. He shouts at me, and we know it's the atmosphere at home. And but you know, I've been 2 weeks ago. I was in my women's meeting. Days today, this time. I was in pieces, you know, and I was just, I'm so sorry that she's so beautiful and that she's like that, and I can't do anything. I'm really, really powerless. I really needed to just love her, care for her, you know, and go every night and do my serenity prayer and believe that it's just going to be okay. But then I later on, in the aid meeting, I went to a friend of mine in recovery who is 11 years ago, and I said to her, you know, I'm in pieces. I shared there was two responsibles of mine in the meeting. And I said, what are they going to think? She said to me, they're going to think that you are fantastic, that you are here, being honest, being truthful. You know, you're not using, you are, you got the horn, you got the bull by the horns, you are dealing with it. It's a good experience, a good example, you know. And it is. And even though that we have all that, I have, you know, something that happens to me is that I do wake up with happiness in my gut, you know. It's not every day, but I do. I am really, really, really happy. I identify a lot with what you said, you know. It's there, you know, recovery. If we really take in, you know, you can't do no wrong. And the taking in means doing the step, having a sponsor, going to meeting, sharing, opening your mouth and when you don't want, you know, being honest to yourself. You can even lie to somebody else, but be honest to yourself, because that's the beginning, to be honest with everybody, you know. Because honesty, open-minded, and willingness is very important. You can't do otherwise, you know. And accept life. Life on life own terms, it's not easy. I want to change my life, and you know, and I wish my daughter was, you know, wasn't autistic. I wish she was, because she's beautiful, she's really gorgeous, and she has, she's 16, but she goes buying little toys. You know, she's got a 7-8 year old mentality, you know, and I mean, it really hurts me to see. You know, I don't know if she will get married, but I do believe if she goes to a special school, she will get the right help, because our house, in our house, is not the right place for her at the moment. Not for her, not for me, not for anybody, really. You know, like I said, if there's a newcomer here, just embrace it. You know, whatever age you are, you know, it's never too early, never too late. You know, really is never. Because if you made it here to this room and you're hearing me and you know, there is a reason why, you know. And just embrace it, because, you know, all those slogans, you know, your wild dreams and blah, blah, blah. Today I have my own business. I did had to quit singing. After 3 years clean, I tried to go back to the stage. I called several of my agents. I had agents all over the world, and then I called two in Europe, and I went to the gig. Oh, you back? Fantastic. I was those one, and you know, drink champagne in a bottle. I was always ready for anything, you know, the extraordinary big eyelashes, the whole, you know, dancing almost nude, just very skinny, you know, it was me. Are you back? Lucy's back. I had a different name, actually. I had the stage name. And when I went, and what I was faced with in my first day back, I knew I couldn't do it. You know, people snorting cocaine, people smoking, people, because I don't smoke, people drinking in excess, you know. And I really knew I couldn't do it. And it was really difficult, because I really wanted that life back again. I really wanted that glorious, you know, exotic and exciting life, but it wouldn't go together. And then what I did, I came back, wallow in it for about, I don't know, 6 months, going to meet, oh, I can go back to the States. And I start my own business. Today I'm a lingerie designer, design silk and wear for ladies, pure silk. I have a website. I sell to shops, and I love what I do. You know, I really love what I do. And, you know, it's a total different life. And I'm happy with it. I really am. I'm not happy every day. Not every day that I'm, you know, all beautiful, fantastic. There are mornings that I wake up and I'm really sad. I feel the waste. You know, it still hits me, that the waste of time in my life. I could have done better. But there is as well the realization that it's gone. I cannot change the past. I can change my future, and I can live in it now and really change my future. And, you know, doing service for NA is another thing that is fantastic for me. It's really reassuring, and having sponsees and having my sponsor, going to meetings, have friends, night out with girls, you know, I did last week. You know, my relationship with my husband is not perfect because of the what we have at home, what we deal with my daughter, and relationship is really, because we have no time for each other, you know, because she takes over. She really takes over. We have no time. We've been together for a long time, and I don't know, maybe when she goes, maybe, I don't know, you know, maybe something will be different, but I don't know. I'm really grateful, you know. I got gratitude coming out, you know, everywhere. I'm really grateful for recovery, for my friends. It's really good to be able to sit in a room and talk, and nobody says anything. It's really, I really like it. I like that because I was always a show off, you know. It's really nice, and but for the new come again. Get a literature, read, get a sponsor, find a temporary if you're not sure. Do a step one, perfectly or not. If you stay in recovery, you'll have, I done the steps several times over, you know, and it's always something new. There is always something different in my, obviously, in my, when I do a step. You know, I love when it's hot like today. It feels like I would like to be leaving Brazil, to be honest. I lived here for a long time, and NA in Brazil needs help. NA in Brazil is being run today by crazy men. There's no women in the rooms, very little. I tried, while I was living there, I tried to start a women's meeting. I was nearly beaten up. Because I went to a meeting, there was this guy in a meeting, you know, someone comes from I don't know where, trying to take my woman from the room, from my meeting, to talk about me behind my back. I said, what an ass. You know what I mean? Did not let me, this guy is so insecure. And then the meeting folded. I couldn't carry on with the women's meeting. It folded, you know, and I need, I know I have something to do in Brazil, and that is that I need to take the World Service back to Brazil. I'm going to make a, you know, really work with, contact someone there and say, look, we need to go back to Salvador and really, you know, give some guidelines and make people realize, you know, NA meet is not, NA is attraction rather than promotion. It's love, is a good hug, you know, is honesty, and the cup of tea in the hand of that newcomer comes who can't hold it. You need to sit near him and almost, you know, I done that to hold the cup of tea for him not to get burned, you know. That's what you need to give your heart, you need to give love, you know, to people. That's what you need to do. Anyway, yeah, it's been an amazing meeting. I will come. It was so easy to get here by tube. I'm always driving, you know, and it's mad. Paying 50 quid because I got, you know, run out of the meter. And I mean, I can come by tube. I will make this meeting again. It's a good meeting. Good meeting to, you know. Sam asked me, yeah, where is Sam? Oh, hi, Sam. Oh, I've been talking to this guy on the phone. I didn't know, you know. And now I know that I know you, yes. Anyway, just thank you for listening, you know. A hard time is never, you know, being in pain is growth. You know, it's very difficult if someone is in really, really big pain and said it's because you're growing. You know, that people wanted to kick you in the face, you know, shut up. But it is true, when you feel pain, it's because things are changing. Just trust in your higher power. Trust in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. That is, and just think that lots of other recovering addicts a long time ago sat in rooms and came out with the steps. You know, we did borrow from AA, but, you know, there is a lot of addicts doing amazing work out there to keep this fellowship going. And I mean, just trust someone, find someone to trust, and your life will change, you know, beyond, it is beyond. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thank you.